Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Olivia Montoya is the head organizer of the Litchfield County Zine Fest, which will be held May 26th at the Kent Community House from noon to 5 p.m. A Zine Fest is an event where zine creators and self-publishers of all stripes will be able to interact, trade, and sell their wares to the public, as well as teach the public about writing in the small-scale publishing through small workshops, and there's more to come. So we hope you enjoy our chat with Olivia Montoya here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter, Olivia Montoya.
Hello. I think the first question we should address is what is a zine? Because I don't think that most people listening to this have probably heard of what a zine is.
I would be very interested in hearing. What is a zine, Olivia?
A zine is a handmade, small-scale publication that is generally made with a photocopier or a printer, and like a personal printer. Or sometimes people have them printed for them, but most times they make them by hand. They're like little booklets that you can sell and trade. Most zines cost somewhere between $1 and $5, so they're very affordable to anyone who wants to own a little piece of art from another person.
So would first of all, in terms of zine, I take it the zine part is kind of like magazine because it's in paper. Is it always paper, or are there other zines that are not made on paper but on other creative media?
First of all, the term zine does not come directly from magazine. It comes from fan magazine, which was shortened to fanzine and then to zine.
Interesting. Okay. So that's a zine from fan magazine.
And then from fanzine.
And then from fanzine. And so if it was a fanzine, was the topic of the original fanzines more in the science fiction fantasy genre or other specific type of genres, or did it encompass a whole wide variety of subject matter?
Well, in the 1930s, the term fanzine arose to specifically describe science fiction and fantasy fanzines, but then it became used in the 1970s by the punk subculture and to talk about fanzines about music.
Fanzines about music. Interesting. Now, the zines of today, that could encompass music, that could encompass a wide...
It could really be anything that could be put into print.
Anything at all.
Yeah. Some people make photography zines, some people do poetry zines, some people write about their lives in zines that are known as per zines, which is short for personal zine. There is comp zines, which are... It's sort of for compilation zines, where there's generally one or a few editors, and they select pieces submitted to them by other zinesters, which is the term for people who make zines. Mm-hmm. And there's also people who make photo zines. There's like glossy art zines. There's still fanzines out there on a wide variety of topics, not just science fiction and music. Something that's also been popular has been zines about TV shows, not even just science fiction and fantasy, but there's art books. Some people still make art books and call them zines.
What about poetry as well?
Poetry is sort of a tricky one because there's also a category known as chapbooks, which
right,
for poetry.
Okay.
But not all people who make chapbooks consider them zines because zines has a more DIY, like meaning to it.
Sure.
Like, and some people who make chapbooks like have them printed for them.
Okay, so like with the chapbook, that is a kind of a published in a different way, sometimes with an organization that creates that, whereas with a zine, it's very, very personal. Are they all handmade to a certain degree in the sense of they're putting it together themselves?
They're all self-published. Most people do put them together by hand, like Xerox them, staple them together, cut them out. Although there are some people who get a company to print out the zines for them or a print shop or whatever. And some of them still call them zines. There's some debate in the community about whether those count as real zines. but
So it's a controversial thing.
It's slightly controversial. Okay. Yes.
Interesting. So if there's a controversy within the community as to if a publisher has their hand in it, whether it's still a zine or not, for the purposes of this particular zine fest, are they welcome into that, or are they?
If it's self-publishing, they're welcome. I also include people who make chapbooks, who do art books, even people who make handmade notebooks would be welcome. And
so interesting. So what happens? Tell me, if you would be so kind, tell me if what is your personal experience with zines? What was the first zine that you saw that you fell in love with that you said, "Hey, wow, that's something that's pretty cool"?
Well, I've known about zines sort of like as something that exists since about my freshman year of college, because I saw them online on arts and crafts websites. But it wasn't until my sophomore year of college that I found one that really clicked with me. It was called Taking the Cake. It's a zine, a comic zine, about asexuality, which is a sexual orientation. And it had really beautiful art. Someone drew this all by hand and was selling them on an arts and crafts website. And I'm personally very interested in like minority sexual orientations. So I connected with this zine and realized that there were other zines that talked about these sort of sometimes taboo topics without being censored. And then I realized in October of 2014 that zine trading was an important part of the community.
By important part of the community, that means by being able to put the work out there and then to be able to share that with other people, you're able to build a wider audience. Would that be correct?
Yeah, to build a wider audience and to make connections with people around the world, because zines are a worldwide phenomenon. It's not just in the United States. It's not just local to this area, this part of the country. There are people in countries around the world and on like most continents who make zines. There's a zine community in Brazil, Indonesia, Japan. There's a zine fest in Bombay, India. There is a community of feminist zinesters in Brunei, a small country in Southeast Asia. There's zinesters in Canada. There's a huge UK community in Australia and New Zealand.
Now, with zines, Anna, I wanted to bring it back just a little bit so that way people can not only just imagine, if they'd like, and we'll be talking about your website in a little bit, they can see, you know, physical examples, you know, online of what a zine is. But would a zine be, because you mentioned hand-drawn, would the individual, you know, with the pages that you hold in your hand in the zine, are they hand-drawn, or are they, as you said in another part, segment, photocopied, or could it be both? Do you see the question that I have?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So is it one of a kind?
One of a kind as opposed to hand created, but then replicated to some degree so that way there are multiple copies of it.
I've seen a few zines that are one of a kind. It's not that common, though. Most of them are duplicated in some way. But the artwork, it seemed very personal and not...
Well, sure, yeah.
And not very, like, above my head, basically.
It was speaking to the audience and created in an art form, in an art style that appealed to a person who would pick up that particular zine. And so, and then there were a wide variety of zines, as you described.
And one of the most important, almost tenets of zine community is that zines are accessible to people from all sorts of marginalized groups, working class people, people of color, people from the LGBT community, and that they're generally not very expensive. Although there are some people who make art zines who, some people in the zine community don't care as much for them entering Zine Fest because they bring more expensive work and they want to keep it accessible. Mm-hmm. But the Litchfield County Zine Fest is open to anyone who self-publishes.
Okay, and so by self-publishing, we're going to, in the second segment, we'll talk about the different other aspects of the Zine Fest, the self-published authors and chapbooks and all of that. But right, we've already reached our first break.
Oh.
So we're going to take a quick break, Olivia, and then when we come back, we're going to talk more about the Litchfield Zine Fest, of which Olivia Montoya is the head organizer of that. We'll be back in just a few moments here on Nutmeg Chatter. Back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Here in studio is Olivia Montoya. She is the head organizer of the Litchfield County Zine Fest. Litchfield County Zine Fest will be occurring on May 26th from noon till 5 at the Kent Community House. Now, Zine Fest, we talked in the first segment about what a zine is and some of the different kinds of zines that there are. We're going to get back to that in the second half of our second segment. But I want to talk about some of the other... this is open to all kinds of self-published authors, correct?
Yes. We have over 40 people who are going to be tabling at the event, which is... it's somewhat analogous to vending at the event, but it's also... it's a little more than that. People can come up to the tables and talk to the artists. They can trade with the artists. They can interact on an equal level.
And so this is, it is as much a showcase as it is a vending opportunity for a zine creator.
Yes, and generally people don't make zines to make money. It's more about connecting with other people and getting your ideas out there and trying to break even, though, but because it does cost some money to get to Zine Fest,
and it's certainly a labor of love because it is so personal in the creation of these very special, almost one of the kind type products and creations. Correct?
Yes, zines are very ephemeral and sometimes hard to find, and that's part of their charm, because like. A zine may only be available for a very short amount of time, and it makes them very addicting to collect.
I can imagine. And so for those in Connecticut, have there been zine fests before? Or is this the first one?
To my knowledge, this will be the first zine fest in the history of Connecticut.
Well, that's huge. And it's happening in Litchfield County, which is fantastic. How does the zine community normally get together? Is it an online experience of sharing different stories and different artwork and online and such, and then people can buy it online? Or are there other like events that have occurred in other states that you've gone to?
Nowadays, there is a lot of online communication for people in the zine community, but there's also connection through writing letters and trading zines through the mail. I've done that a lot in my experience. But in the past, it's traditionally been through the mail. Zines were mail order. You would find out about people who made zines either through like going to a record store and finding a zine there for sale, and it would have reviews of other zines and addresses just where you could send a couple bucks and get a zine back in the mail. It was this underground network.
It sounds very underground, which is very exciting. So people can, once they kind of discover it, it's almost like they go down the rabbit hole and with each interesting turn, they find something new and something different.
Yeah, exactly. There's all sorts of things that you can find out. Like one of my favorite zines that I came across is specifically about this guy's experiences working at a casino. And there's all sorts of wild stories that come through that. And there's another zine series I came across that's about raising chickens. There's a lot to talk about subjects that are sort of hard to talk about in society, like mental health or sexuality. There's a lot of art zines that showcase like people's drawings or people's photography. There's just so much to find.
How many pages would you say on average a zine is? Because I assume that it varies depending on the creator, depending on the subject matter, depending on how much or how little there is of art. And it so, but what would you say on average somebody might expect if they were picking up a zine?
On the low end, there would be there's some zines that are mini zines that are about 8 pages long. On the high end, you're probably not going to see anything longer than 100 pages because it gets
That's
difficult.
A lot.
It gets difficult to staple then.
Right.
The longest one that I've made is 88 pages long.
Wow. Okay. 88 pages. Now, and how does one bind them? Is it through stapling?
Some people sew them by hand. Some people use rubber bands or paper clips, although I wouldn't recommend that. I've seen one using hairpins to hold it together. Most people staple them, though.
Okay. And is the cover stock slightly different from the pages or not really? Or it depends on the creator?
That totally depends on the creator. I've seen all sorts of materials used in the covers of zines. I've seen someone use an envelope as a part of the cover of their zine. I've seen someone use plastic inserts in zines. I've seen even some people put like tin foil in zines.
And that must be difficult, especially if you're trying to mass produce. But you're not. I assume by mass producing, you're not mass producing thousands. You're mass producing maybe
a few dozen.
Dozens, right? Okay.
Generally, the general rule is that zines have a print run of less than 1,000.
Okay, that would make sense because if you get beyond that, then you would need to hire a publishing company, it would seem, and then that would step it outside the boundary of zine and then become that chapbook or self-published.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes total sense. But you're going to cover, and you're inviting into this particular festival, self-published authors who want to get their work out there into the into the Litchfield County sphere. Although visitors from outside the county are welcome to it as well.
Oh yes, there's definitely people in Connecticut who make zines, including some people who make them without really knowing what they're making and that there's a community behind them, because there isn't really much of a zine community in Connecticut.
Do you think that you're building that? Do you think this is a step towards building that larger community?
I definitely think so. I've also been teaching zine workshops at local libraries in the hopes that people will learn what a zine is and come to the event later and potentially even make zines of their own.
And have you found that to be, the type of thing where your students, your pupils, if you will, do go on to create their own zines? Have you seen any of your students create work of their own?
Usually small zines, since the period of the workshop is usually about 2 hours, and half of it is for explaining how to make a zine, the history of zines, what to do with their zines, where to find zines.
If somebody was considering creating a zine, I'm going to save that question for the third segment. I want to talk about how one creates a zine in the third segment. But let's just jump back really quick and talk about the festival. Tell me a little bit more about the festival, please. Just tell me some of the things that somebody could expect when they go between noon and 5 to the Kent Community House.
Well, the first hour is pretty much just going to be people at tables. The main room will have, I believe, 22 tables in it. And there's an entrance area that will have 2 more tables, including the welcome table. And there will be some freebies there. There will be a spot specifically for local young people who make zines themselves. And on the inside, the tablers will be at their tables. Although after the first hour, there will be a workshop that I'll be teaching, which is my standard zine workshop. That will be in the basement of the building, which is wheelchair accessible.
So it's wheelchair accessible. It's accessible to all. Is there a cost associated with going to the Zine Fest itself, not as a vendor, but as just somebody part of the public who wants to see?
There's no cost for anybody, even for the vendors.
Even for the vendors.
Even for the vendors.
So this is really literally about kind of creating that community and building something that will have strong roots that will grow.
Yes, that's what I'm hoping for. I wanted to make this festival as accessible as the zine community wants zines to be.
That's incredibly laudable. It's wonderful to hear. So that is free for the vendors, free for the public to come and showcase their wares, or to learn about zines and then start the process of creating their own. We're going to, in the third segment, we're already at our second break.
Oh, I just want to mention that I am able to do this because of a regional initiative arts grant from the state of Connecticut.
That's, in fact, I have here. The event is made possible with support from the Department of Economic and Community Development, Connecticut Office of the Arts, which also receives support from the National Endowment of the Arts, a federal agency. So that is fantastic, incredible. I will look forward to our third segment, where we talk about kind of some of the process of building a zine from scratch. So we'll be back in just a few moments with Olivia Montoya here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Here in studio is Olivia Montoya. She is building the Connecticut zine community, helping to build that community as the head organizer of the Litchfield County Zine Fest, which will occur on May 26th at the Kent Community House. From noon to 5, there's so many events, so many things happening. Before we get into creating a zine, tell me a little bit more about the festival, please.
Oh, yeah, I didn't get to mention that after the zine workshop where I teach people about zines and how to make them, there will be a free zine making period where there will be free supplies out for anyone to use. And after that, there will be a workshop from an artist who's coming all the way from Missouri, who is going to be teaching people about drawing comics and narrative in comics.
That's incredible. What an opportunity. So we're talking about a really hands-on experience. People can actually not just see from afar that this is something that other people do. They're going to see, I can do this, and then I will do this. And then they have the professional training to do that. That is such a fantastic opportunity, and it's free.
Yep, and at the very last hour of the fest, there will be an open zine reading. There will be a sign-up form out during the rest of the fest where people, either tablers or people who are members of the public, can sign up for a 5 or 10 minute spot and read from their zines.
That's incredible. Now, as a just kind of a teaser, if you will, can you take us a little bit into the process? You don't have to give away all the trade secrets, but just a little bit of the process of the creation of a zine. For instance, what are the supplies? If somebody were starting from scratch, what would be the supplies they might consider getting?
Well, I've actually written an entire zine that's all the information from my workshops. It's like my workshops are free for people to attend, and the information, I wanted to be as free as possible. So there's a downloadable zine that is, there's a readable version and a printable version so that you can make your own zine out of it. And it's available at my website, which is oliviareadzines.wordpress.com/freebies. And some of the basic materials that you need for a zine is, at the very most basic, paper, pen, and scissors.
And let's just start with the paper here. Is it using a full thing of paper, or is it the folded paper so that if you had, say, an 8x10 folded together, now you have 4 pages? Is that
the simplest zine to make is uses a full sheet of letter size paper. That's known as standard or full size, mm-hmm. where that it's stapled together like just at the edges of the paper. Although most zines are half size or digest size, which is a half of a letter piece of paper, just a letter piece of paper folded in half. And it's pretty easy to figure out where the pages go in your master copy.
Interesting. Now, to start out on a zine, the number of pages that you might select in the creation of a zine would probably depend upon your subject matter and whether you're going to be doing a lot of drawing or whether you're going to be adding photographs to it. Or not? Would that be correct? Or what would you say would be a good starting out dimensions and size of that?
Well, if you're just starting out, one thing that you can try is a one sheet mini zine, which you can use a single sheet of paper to create an 8-page zine with a single paper cut. And you can find how to do this by googling like a mini zine or how to make 8-page mini zine. Or you can use my free zine as a resource. It has a diagram that you can use to lay out the zine and how to make it. And pretty soon I'm going to be uploading a printable page where it has all of the page numbers on it and where to cut.
Wow, that's incredible. So you can, with one sheet of paper, start down that process of learning it, and then from there building it further and further and further. So let's jump back a little bit into the zine community. And so what are some of the zines that you want to talk about, or you want to showcase here? What do you want to talk about in terms of zines?
Just I've encountered, I'm especially interested in personal zines. That's what most of my collection is, and zines that talk about people's marginalized identities. So that's what I know most about, but personal zines I find especially important because they allow you to connect on a really deep level with someone that you've not necessarily ever met. It's sort of like being allowed to read someone's diary.
It would seem to be a very personal experience because of that, because you're taking so much time and care in the creation of this a literary, if you will, work of art, or an artistic work of art, if you will, that it is so personal because they've taken so much time to create this and communicate this message on such a, I would say, a micro level, even if it is, let's say, hundreds of copies, as opposed to massive Amazon publishing.
Yeah.
So that's incredible. This may be, going to be the start. This is the first zine conference, if you will, the first zine meeting of the minds, if you will. How long did it take you to start this process of creating a zine fest?
The thought first came into my mind in either late February or early March of last year, and I've been working on it ever since. The thought came to my mind, I was trying to see if there was any zine fest that had ever happened in Connecticut, so I was Googling to see if there was any that had ever happened, and I couldn't find any. I found an art book fair, which isn't quite the same thing, and even that's all the way down around Yale.
Mm-hmm. And so this is up here in Kent. There is obviously a strong arts and culture community within Litchfield County, so there might be an enormous interest in Zine Fest.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was the perfect place to host the Zine Fest. The Kent Community House is accessible, and it's just the right size, and it's off the main road. It's in Kent, which is a great arts community. It's 10 miles away from the train station, so people can come up from New York City if they'd like to attend. And we're even carpooling some artists who are coming up from New York City so wow. that they can get to and from the fest.
So you've gotten a lot of positive feedback and a lot of responses from people who are coming.
Oh, yes. Some of the people, when they found out that there was going to be a zine fest in Connecticut, they got super excited.
To clarify, and although we're recording this on April 17th, it will be released a month later in May, or May 19th. So that way it's closer to the zine fest itself. Oh. But my question is, as of this date, are there still opportunities available in case people want to be a vendor or have a table, or are they already booked?
It's already all filled up, unfortunately.
Well, that's good to know. So it's already filled up already as far as April.
Oh, yeah. As far back as last summer, I was doing a survey to find out if I could even get enough artists interested in coming to this.
Because and that's an important component.
Yes. I got over 50 responses, although not everyone on that list could make it because of the time the time of year it is. There's a lot of other events going on.
For people who want to find out more information about Zine Fest or about the zine that you create, where can they go?
Well, for the Litchfield County Zine Fest, they can go to litchfieldcountyzinefest.wordpress.com. And for the Facebook event, you can type in bit.ly/LCZF2018.
Wow. Okay. So and we'll also have that on the Nutmeg Chatter website. We'll have a link so that people can go straight to that. Olivia, Thank you for coming in and talking to us today about the Litchfield County Zine Fest and about zines, and looking forward to the success of the Zine Fest.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Nutmeg Chatter is a production of WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio. Some of the music has been provided by the Jingle Punks, courtesy of YouTube Royalty Free Music, so we thank them for that. We hope you enjoyed the chat.